begun. So don't talk, just kiss. We're beyond words and sound. Don't talk, just kiss. Let your tongue fool around. Let's fool around.
Sometimes I feel like I'm a blank slate. I can go from place to place, person to person, and need no adjustment. I also have an extremely high pain tolerance. Not enough to join some super spy network or anything, but enough that I don't get hurt a lot. As a result, I sometimes have a problem identifying when a normal person would need some adjustment. Usually, I'd be sitting at home doing homework with AOL open. Sometimes, I'd be in an M4M room. Used to get lots of IMs from guys around my own age looking to hook up. I'm not hot or anything, I don't even consider myself attractive, but in Cranberry Lake, it was hard to find other gay boys in the general populace. There were some boys who wore gay pride like a pair of their favorite jeans, but the boys who were looking for me weren't looking for them. They wanted anonymity. Brian wanted a bottom for someone. He'd never been with another guy before and claimed to be in the closet. He was also a drama student, chorus member, and AIDS activist, but he was in the closet. He showed up at my house with a case of Zima around 3 in the afternoon. We put MTV in the background and talked a lot. Around 3 hours and 11 Zimas later, he wanted to kiss me. Brian was beautiful. 19 years old, short, messy blonde hair, blue eyes, perfect teeth. I was 21 and knew that if he was comfortable with his sexuality, he would not be meeting guys like me over the internet. I said as much to him. As much as I wanted him and as much as I knew he would probably regret losing his gay virginity this way, I didn't want him to feel that I pressured him. We talked some more, and we made out. Around 8 o'clock, he started taking his clothes off. He had been working out. I suggested that we move upstairs, as I had a sliding glass door with no blinds on it and a community of nosy neighbors. We moved upstairs into my bedroom. He immediately went down on me, listening very carefully to my suggestions on technique. After about 15 minutes, he climbed up on the bed and said, "Penetrate me." Even the most clinical, unromantic come online in the history of bad sex talk failed to break the moment. Oh, I giggled quietly. I also started with the appropriate kissing and fingering of the butt. Then I entered. Not very clinically. Very passionately, in fact. He responded with first an, "Oh!" and then an, "Oh God! I think I'm gonna..." and then he puked. Everywhere. Mirror over the dresser, splattered with puke. Quilt that my grandmother made me, covered in puke. I was, however, still clean. That's not the part of the story that bothers me. What bothers me is this. I never comforted him. Here was this physically beautiful, intellectually beautiful, sweet, beautiful boy living through what was probably the most challenging day of his life to begin with. He was finally confronting his sexual identity, and one of the most embarrassing possible things that could happen to a guy happened to him. Sure, I asked how he was, but didn't touch him. Cleaned up the mess, but didn't rub his back when he continued vomiting in the bathroom. Sure, I told him not to worry about it, but I don't think I sounded very sincere. He asked me if he could still stay the night. I may be an emotionless robot sometimes, but I'm not an asshole. I asked if he wanted to share my bed or sleep in the guest bedroom, which was closer to the bathroom. He chose the guest bedroom. All night long, I heard him alternate between crying and vomiting, and I did nothing. He got up the next morning before I did. I never heard from him again.
Trust, love's gone behind.
Sometimes the wrong thing to do is the right thing. Instead of confronting your friend about his alcoholism, maybe let him bottom out. Hopefully, when he sees those pictures on the internet, he'll realize that maybe Jose Cuervo isn't as good a friend as he thought, and he'll get angry at Jose instead of you. 3 days after the Brian incident, I woke up sick. Believed it was karma. All I wanted to do was puke, so I puked. Repeatedly. After about an hour of my bulimia impersonation, I drove to the doctor's office where my mom used to work. The receptionist's swivel chair diagnosis was appendicitis, and she recommended driving to the hospital instead of wasting the doctor's time. I made sure to puke on the bathroom floor before I left. I drove the 5 miles or so between the doctor's office and the hospital with my head out the window, howling like Ludo from Labyrinth. It felt like there was a small raccoon trying to dig its way out of my stomach. "Kidney stones," said the hospital receptionist as she wheeled me into the ER. She left me at the center island where, despite my Darth Vader impersonation, I spent 15 minutes not being helped by anyone. "Excuse me," I said to a passing doctor. I am in a lot of pain right now." He looked at my chart, which I can't imagine said very much as I hadn't been to a doctor for anything more than a checkup for years. "Okay." And he walked away. A second doctor walked by with an IV. "Ibuprofen for the pain," he said. Like turning a fan on a burn victim, ibuprofen for kidney stones is an ineffective treatment. So, for another half an hour, I vadered and vadered until finally, another doctor found me and filled my IV with sweet, sweet Demerol. The next thing I remember, my mother is shaking me awake. She asked me where I've been for the last 24 hours. Beside my bed are a bottle of pills, a reminder that I have a urologist appointment, and a pee strainer. I have a hazy recollection of a hospital. Apparently, the doctors of malpractice med allowed me to drive home when I was out of my mind on Demerol a few minutes after my mother left. I went downstairs to check my messages. Rex called to remind me to pick him up from the airport. Rex. Didn't recall. My brain clicked. Rex was Pretty Boy. PRITTIB01. The guy I'd been talking to on AOL recently. I wondered how he got my phone number. Airport. I rushed upstairs and checked my computer. I always save the really important instant message and chat room conversations as Word files. Sure enough, I had invited Rex to come up and stay in Boston for a few days. Not only that, I'd purchased a plane ticket for him with my credit card. Fuck! I arrived at the airport about 10 minutes after his flight did. As I wandered toward baggage claim, I saw him on a payphone. We made small talk on the way out to the car. It's hard for me to recall the details of our first few hours together as all I could think of was, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck? He was exhausted when I got home, so I let him set up shop in my room while I went to work. When I came home, he was sitting in my beanbag. Naked. Aroused. He was watching a Backstreet Boys video on MTV. Had the sound been off, I might have been able to understand what he was doing. As it was, all I could think of was, thank God my mother didn't drop in to see how I was doing. Then, something sank in. There was a hot, naked, aroused guy sitting in my beanbag, smiling at me. He stood up and asked if I needed a shower after my long day at work. I stammered a yes, and we headed upstairs. On the way up the stairs, I noticed his one physical flaw. The man had no ass. None. He was very slim and had a back that was completely flat between shoulder blades and whatever you call the reverse side of kneecaps. It looked like he had been ironed. I undressed as he tried to figure out the shower. When he bent over, I could almost make out his butt cheeks. if I squinted real hard. When he turned around, he took one look at my naked body and laughed.
Oh, it's so little and cute!
I'd never had my cock belittled before. I've got the lovely average thing going on. Nothing spectacular, but hardly a microphallus. He may have been 9 inches long, but a man without an ass should never criticize anyone else's body. After about half an hour, we turned the shower off and headed into what had once been my room. I could now see it was our bedroom. All the furniture had been moved around. There was a PlayStation hooked up to my TV, and my computer background was a naked picture of Rex. This made me point and laugh.
What?
That picture. He tilted his head to the side, like a velociraptor.
What about it?
You look like a total skank. In the picture, Rex was wearing a club boy shirt and Adidas sweatpants, which were pulled down to show off his huge cock. It was his facial expression that was hysterical. The sort of face you only see in cheap pornography and Abercrombie and Fitch ads, maybe in Zoolander if you know when to look. He pushed me onto the bed.
I thought you liked skank.
And then his tongue was tickling the roof of my mouth. After about 10 minutes of foreplay, he lay on his back and spread his legs, looking back. I'm grateful he didn't assume the doggy style position. I can't imagine maintaining my erection while looking for his ass. Condom on, check. Proper application of lubrication, check. And off we go. The first 15 minutes were amazing. Perfect rhythm, position changes, everything was perfect. And he said,
oh, God, you're better than my brother.
5 years later, Satan and I would play a game where we tried to think of the most awful things to say to someone in bed. Not surprisingly, you're better than my brother was near the top of the list. I believe it was between I thought you said this wasn't your first time and sorry, I had a burrito for lunch. Needless to say, I stopped, completely stunned.
Don't stop!
But
don't stop!
I started up again, trying to push what he said out of my mind. After about 20 minutes, we were both spent. I propped myself on my elbow, meaning to ask him about the brother comment when he shushed me. That's when I heard my mother coming up the stairs. There is little in life as agonizing as the anticipation of knowing your mother is about to walk in on you having sex with a guy when she doesn't even know you're gay. I suppose it could be worse. I could have been being gangbanged by the football team when my dad walked in, but never had much of an affinity for jocks, and my dad lived over an hour away. He also had a sense of personal space, something my mother lacks to this day. There is no way to make this look innocent. We're two guys in a bed who reek of long, amazing sex. You can barely smell the you're better than my brother at this point. And Mr. No-Ass's Gila monster is still visible through the sheets. The tension is mounting on me, and I'm pretty sure it will hurt worse than Rex's cock when I hear the door open, and it's not my door. It's the door to the spare bedroom. This is where the sobbing begins to waft under the doorway. I'd been so focused on my pulse moving north from cock to inner ear that I hadn't noticed it. Threw on some baggy clothes and knocked on the door. Mom?
Adam, you're awake. Of course you're awake. It's only 10. Adam,
I did it. I broke up with my boyfriend.
Now my blood drains back from my inner ear into my feet and escapes through my toes and onto the carpet. My mom is breaking up with her boyfriend. My mom, who owns my house, is breaking up with her boyfriend with whom she's been living. My mom is totally gonna kill my fuck factor. Then, my blood comes back with a resounding force into my brain and kick my ego's narcissistic ass. Are you okay?
Yes. Adam, I think...
Her phone rings. It's her boyfriend. I do the wiggle your feet while your mom is on the phone dance while she sobs, then steals, then says,
Why didn't you tell me that? Okay, well, that changes everything. I'll be right over.
I never did find out what the fight was about.
I'm so foolish sometimes,
my mother said as she picked up her purse and yanked her jacket off the floor.
I just get so emotional. Adam, who's in your bedroom?
I turn slowly. Each crisis having been thus far averted, this must be the point where Rex and his serpent wave at her from my bed. But Rex is no longer in my bed. He's fully dressed, playing PlayStation. Oh, Mom, this is Rex. He's a friend of mine. He'll probably be staying here for a while.
Well, lucky thing I won't be needing a spare bedroom then. Good night, Adam. Good night, Rex. Night. Good to almost meet you.
And my mother spun down the stairs and back over to her boyfriend's. The whole ordeal took about 5 minutes, tops.
I figured if we'd been playing video games, it could have accounted for any noises she would have heard.
Good thinking, I said. Certainly the, oh God, you're better than my brother comment would have been in better context.
Yeah, sorry about that. You any good at Breath of Fire 3?
When I was 7 or so, my grandmother gave me a prism to hang in my window so I could watch the colors bounce around my room. Little green off the television set, some rainbow action on the handles of my dresser drawer, some red off the naked guy's back. Naked guy? Right. Rex. The sun seemed almost abusively bright, like it was trying to remind me of something. Right. Work! I threw on some clothes, wrote a quick note for Rex, and went to work. Of course, it was actually my day off, so I pretended I had just come in to hang out, talked with some of my coworkers for a few minutes, hit the grocery store, and went home. Rex and I had been up until about 8 in the morning playing Breath of Fire 3, was actually getting quite good at it. Figured he would still be asleep when I got home, so I opened the door very quietly, placed the groceries in the kitchen, started to head up to the stairs when I heard him talking. Let's not even pretend that I'm not an eavesdropper on an average day. If you're in my presence and you need to have a private conversation, tell me, and I'll go away for a while. Otherwise, I'm listening, and I'm taking notes.
Absolutely beautiful! We showered together the other night, and it was so hot! Seriously, some of the best sex I've ever had!
I rock. This beautiful creature is on the phone with, please don't let this be his brother, someone, and he's talking about how beautiful I am and what amazing sex we've had, and
seriously, I have the smallest cock here. We all sleep in the same room, 4 bunk beds. No, it's really comfortable. Unfortunately, the cutest one is straight. I know, aren't they all? Anyway, I should probably go. We got a shoot in the park in a few hours, and I have to get ready. Love you too. Bye.
I am relatively sure I wasn't supposed to hear that conversation. I live alone. No bunk beds, no other roommates, and as previously mentioned, my cock is not bigger than his. I begin to rationalize. He broke up with his boyfriend, and I'm the rebound guy, and he's trying to make the ex jealous. No, it was his brother on the phone, and he's trying to make him jealous, or... I got up and walked quietly down the stairs, where I loudly opened, then closed the door. I'm home!
That was fast.
Yeah, just did a little grocery shopping. Turned out I wasn't supposed to work today.
Cool.
So it's your first day in Cranberry Lake? Do you want to do some sightseeing or anything, I asked?
Sure. Wanna fuck first?
I can't think of an occasion where I've turned down sex in favor of sightseeing. I hope that day never comes. So, up the stairs we went. Clothes flew off like monkeys in Oz, and I threw him playfully on the bed, got my face real close to his, and almost asked, "So which one of us is the hottest?" But being a true male, I didn't want to give up a chance for sex, so I decided to fuck first, accuse later. The sex was amazing. There were a few times that I thought that there really might be six of us in the room, and I just hadn't noticed. An extra arm would be kneading my back, I'd swear there'd be a tongue in my mouth, and another one on one of my nipples. I mean, we were bending each other into positions that the Kama Sutra knew about, but didn't have the balls to write down. By the time we were finished, it was too dark to sightsee, and I was okay with that. The prism was flashing streetlight patterns all over the wall. The moon was hovering above the skylight, and I swear it was saying, "Damn." All suspicions were forgotten. I don't think I would have been able to tell anyone what my name was by the time we were through. All I could remember was nibble, nibble, suck, lick, twist, thrust, thrust, wow. The questions would have to wait for another day. Think if we'd been able to just fuck for the rest of our lives without having to actually get to know each other, Rex and I would still be together today. Unfortunately, there comes a time in every relationship when you zip up your fly and start talking. Usually, those are the moments I cherish. Sexual being I may be, but I do like spending time with my clothes on, getting to know people. Our first conversation, real conversation, was full of more uncomfortable pauses than when Hitler Sig Heiled the Grim Reaper. I can't remember it word for word, but here's a brief synopsis of Rex's alleged autobiography. Happy go kid time until 12. Dad dies. Possible foreclosure on mom's hair salon. Enter Wicked. Stepfather. Stepbrother. Stepbrother fucks him until he and love come simultaneously. Wicked stepfather catches them. Wicked molests him. It is not love, but body and pain. And he wants to tell, but the world revolves around mom, who is in very much love with the money Wicked supplies them at 15. Wicked beats him unschoolable, so he drops into bookkeeping at the salon. There, in the salon, clip-clipping style styling is a flirtatious smile and the most exquisite ear Rex has ever whispered into. Of course, there is love, but no money, but oh, so much love. Age 16 and 17, held under the weight of his wicked family with the occasional after work into overnights with his savior, sweet savior. His mother, shh, does not ask or tell or acknowledge, but one day, stepbrother tells Rex he loves him, tells him he can never be with anyone else, and when Rex threatens to move out, stepbrother tells Wicked every too much thing. Goodbye, stepbrother, military school. Goodbye, Rex. Wicked tells mom everything, and she will still love him, but better with distance, and lover can love him, but not 7 days a week in mother's basement apartment. In his life is jammed turnstile until Demerol Prince Charming offers happily ever for at least a little while. The, of course, problem is that my blood only runs blue and my veins are polluted. I can afford me and food and music and rent and time, but not some skankerella with a $40 a week hairstyling habit.
Today's podcast, All My Exes Live in Sex Flicks, The Golden Age of Sodomy, Part 3, Breath of Fire, Ass of Smoke was brought to you by Staying Up Too Late Playing Video Games and the Society for the Improvement of Men's Asses. Intro music for this episode was Don't Talk, Just Kiss by Right Said Fred. That's right, you heard what I said. Incidental music included Brother by Alice in Chains, From the Heart of Glass, a Mad Mix Mustang mashup of Blondie and Philip Glass, and a series of themes from the video game Breath of Fire 3, available for PlayStation and Super Nintendo Entertainment System, including the outro music, which is playing right now. For more information on this podcast or any of the writing by myself, please check out www.crookedtreehouse.com. Or if you'd like to email me directly, you can email me at insafemode@gmail.com. If you would like my phone number, you perhaps don't understand how personal boundaries work, and maybe you shouldn't contact me at all.